Turn to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 9, 18th chapter. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruit of that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and all and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, a great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the precious, wonderful Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you for the great privilege we have tonight in studying your Word. And we ask you for just wisdom tonight, Lord, as we preach. Ask you for power. I ask that your will would be done here and tonight in these services. Be with our master's clubs, Father. Have the will of God done in those clubs. And Father, those unsaved might be saved. Father, we pray for the services here, asking you, God, for the perfect and wonderful will of God to be accomplished. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Bible tells us in verse number 9 that the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her. We find out, and of course this is spoken of quite a few times in the scriptures, about the kings of the earth committing fornication up on verse number 3 of this chapter. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. When we go back not only to the kings that are present here in this picture that we see during the tribulation period, not only the kings that is present then, but the kings that has been for centuries and centuries have committed fornication with commerce, if you want to call it commerce, with the wickedness, instead of loving God, walking with God, serving God, doing the will of God. Kings for years and years have led their people in ungodly ways. Very seldom do you ever see a nation, very seldom do you ever see a king that tries to lead their nation, their people, in a godly way. You just don't see it. I mentioned to you before, and we seem to kind of take that for granted, but I've mentioned to you before, I don't know of any nation on the face of this earth at this point that leads its people in a godly way. That takes the Bible, the Word of God, not even Israel, takes the Bible, the Word of God, and says, here's what it says, here's what we've got to do. No, the nations of this earth rise up against their Creator, and that's what we have. And so God is talking about all the kings of the earth, clear back from the beginning of wickedness, clear back to the beginning of the false worship, clear back to then all the kings and peoples of the earth have committed fornication. with this wicked system, this commerce system, and of course here it's represented in a city, which you will come down to at the very ending of time, and a city will represent all of this wickedness, and God's going to deal with it through that city and the destruction of that city. We find also, he said, that they lived deliciously, luxuriously. In other words, they had everything they wanted. That's been the whole picture of mankind. That's been the picture of nations for years and years and years. It's the picture of nations now. The one thing is that they want the money for their people, for themselves to live deliciously. That's the whole purpose of their existence. You don't, as I said, you don't find them loving God, walking with God. No, this is the purpose for it, is to make money and to live deliciously, to have a higher standard of living, not a higher standard of morals, not a higher standard of godliness, but a higher standard. And we in America have fallen into that same trap. And that's what it's all about. That's what it is. That's where it's at. Christians, we as Christians, have fallen into that very same trap. We're trapped in that very same thing. We don't have to be, but we are. See, I'm convinced, I've told you before, and sometimes we laugh about it, but I am convinced that it was not the will of God for there to be all of these cities. Originally, it was not the will of God. Man went out from the presence of God and built a city. Now, we as God's people now are to go into these cities and reach them as missionaries, as churches and preachers and individuals, go out and reach people in these cities. I certainly know that that's the job God has given us to do. But it was not God's purpose to build all these cities. God intended for man to live on the ground, to till the ground, and to live of the things, the simple things of life. And very few people nowadays live simple lives. Everything is hustle bustle. But that was not the plan of God. And I don't believe it's the plan of God today. We've got caught up in all of this, and it's a hustle bustle life. And we don't even have time to be quiet and know that He is God. If I could say something to my people, I would say to you, take some time out of your week and know that He's God. Just take some time and love Him and listen to Him and let Him speak to you and hear from Him and do what He says. Amen. He'll help you in a marvelous, wonderful way. But anyway, we find that He says, "It shall bewail her." They're standing back here, and the Bible says more than once in verse 10, it says standing afar off. It says they're bewailing her and lamenting for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now the Bible again says, as I said in verse number 10, and it says it other places too in this portion that I read to you, but they're standing afar off. I don't want you to think that it's like us standing maybe here and looking down toward Linton. I think it's much, much further than that. I think there's a great distance. They're afraid of the torment. They're afraid of what's happened to this city. It's been destroyed. It's being burnt. And the smoke, the Bible says they see the smoke of her. As I told you before, I personally believe that Babylon will be rebuilt. If you don't believe that, that's okay. No big deal. But there is a city that's going to be destroyed. But you look at Babylon, and I believe that these shipmasters can set out into the Adrian Sea, which is as you come out of the Indian Ocean into the Adrian Sea and then into the Persian Gulf. I believe they'll be able to see all of that from there. I believe it'll be so massive, so horrible, so terrible. I'm not even sure, I looked at the map, that it wouldn't be possible to see it from the Mediterranean Sea. Because I believe it's going to be so horrible and massive that the smoke of that is going to go up and up and up and up. And it's going to travel great distances. And the Bible says what they saw was the smoke of her torment. I believe also that they'll be watching this on TVs, if they have any left. I believe it'll be all over the world. They'll be watching this devastation of Camrys probably standing way, way, way off, miles and miles and miles off, and showing the smoke billowing up out of Babylon as she is destroyed. The Bible tells us these kings bewail her. They are sad. They're crying, alas, alas, woe, woe. It's a terrible thing they're crying. This great city has been destroyed. I'd like to mention to you again this. I don't believe, as you read these scriptures, I don't believe there's a city upon the face of the earth today that meets the standard of this city. Now, I didn't say they couldn't at some point in time, But I don't think at this point, there's a city anywhere that meets the standard that any kings and any merchants, any shipmasters would be crying out to this great, great city if it was destroyed today. If you look at it, it's a city lined with linen and gold and pearls. It's a rich city. And I believe, like I said, personally, I don't believe there's any city that is present in its present condition, put it that way, that meets the standard. I think this is going to be such a rich and city. It's in the last days. It's going to be, money is going to be poured into that place. The Antichrist is going to see to it that it's going to be one of the most luxurious places that you've ever seen. And so anyway, they are bewailing. They're standing back. The kings of the earth are bewailing. Why? Because that's where their money comes from. That's where they sell their merchandise. See, this city is going to be such a place that it's going to be buying merchandise from all over the world. It's going to be pouring into this place to meet the needs of that city and its people and its wickedness, let me say. And so they're bewailing the fact that here a city is going up in smoke and they don't know what they're going to do. We find them standing afar off for the fear of her torment. They're scared. They're shaking. Kings are shaking in their boots because they're fearful of what has happened to this city, of the torment that has happened to Babylon. We find also, he says, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, he talks about a day will come in 1 day. Here we find out it'll come in an hour of 1 day. The Bible says it'll come within an hour. In other words, he's telling us it will happen all at once. It'll just come quickly, and God's judgment is so great. If you notice at the end of verse number 8, he says, strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And this is going to come in 1 hour, just devastating, completely destroying this city in a very short period of time. And then he says in verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. I think we made mention once about this. This is the second group of people, the merchants. He's not talking, the word merchants here is not talking about some storekeepers. Nothing wrong with storekeepers, but he's talking about the merchants that send things and wholesalers that send things all over the world in great quantities. Those kind of people are going to be mourning and wailing and weeping and mourning over her. Why? The Bible says, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. They've been shipping merchandise into this city. Keep in mind, I think I mentioned it last week, keep in mind something. This is not the only city being destroyed. Cities all over the world, back in chapter 17, the great earthquake, the Bible said the cities of the earth, all cities in the earth fell. I think it's talking about some of the mighty, mighty big cities of all around the world is going to be fall during that earthquake. And then it'll come, the Bible says, it comes into the mind of God, and God remembers Babylon. And he sends a special judgment upon Babylon. So remember this. It's not just one city being destroyed. It's cities all over the earth being destroyed. So commerce is going to come to a stop. And no one is going to be able to buy her merchandise. And these merchants and these kings depended upon this city, this great city Babylon, to buy their merchandise. And so we find that they're bewailing that. They're not sorry for the souls of men. They're not sorry that people are dying. That's not why they're sorry. They don't care about that. Not really, not down deep. Their real concern is they now have no one to buy their merchandise. It's all down, and we call it the dollar. It's all, that's what it's all about. And that's why they're sorrowful. That's why they're mourning over this city. It's not because multitudes died, and it must be multitudes. I don't know how many millions of people are going to be in that city, but they're going to be destroyed all at once. We find in verse number 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls. I'm going to divide these up into some departments like we would divide a department store up. And we will look at it for just a few moments. The first one is we go into the jewelry department. The Bible says here that the gold and the silver and the precious stones and the pearls. He mentions here all the precious jewelry. It's more than that, I'm sure, but I'm saying using it as a jewelry department. All of those kind of things that it sell for so much money, and let me say to you, has become such so important to human beings. I understand that ladies like jewelry. They like to buy jewelry and wear jewelry, and I don't see a thing wrong with that whatsoever if you keep it in moderation. I think everything is in moderation. He's not talking about that. He's talking about those that are merchants that sell, and that's the way they make their living. They send it all over the world. You and I know there's multitudes out there that love the jewelry, love the gold, love all the pearls, love all those things. That's what they live for. And they spend multitudes of money on them. Then if you notice next, we come to the clothing department. Fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. We find here all special types of clothing and cloth. And he's talking about the things that's within this city and the merchandise that is sold in this city. I was just told by my wife I think said that Glenda Allen had mentioned something to her about the coming fads that is coming very soon. My wife took a catalog at home from, I think it was Sears or maybe Penny's, I can't remember which was, and she said, here's what I'm talking about. And it showed completely the whole back out of the dress. They say that's the coming fad. Now, what I'm saying, you say, oh, well, that's terrible. This was on juniors, not adults. This was showing and selling these type of dresses. I think it was a Sears for juniors, the young girls like this. And that's the fad that is coming. Uncover. You see, that's the big deal. We in Christianity a long time ago did not hold the line. The miniskirts came in, and let me get on that a moment. The miniskirts came in, and the Christian crowd joined them. Multitudes of Christians joined the miniskirt crowd. Shame on them. We don't change because the world changes. We live godly lives and dress godly. No matter what the fashions of this world does, we don't do those things. We stick according to the Bible. But no, I say, quote, Christian after Christian went to the miniskirts. And the ungodly dress, they've been doing it ever since. They're still doing it. It's a shame. It's a shame to the churches. Terrible shame. But this clothing thing, and here we find a department store here for clothing. It's not a department store, but I call it the department for clothing. And here we find that that's one of the things that's in Babylon that's going to be destroyed. He says, and all fine wood, and all manner of vessel of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and an iron, and marble. I call this the luxury gift and furniture department. All kinds of gifts made out of these things that I just read, furniture, all kinds of fancy furniture, fine wood. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I understand it was used in, the Romans used it a lot. It's a real hard wood. I'm sure it's probably harder than maybe oak or even or something like that. They tell me it's a real hard wood, but it's a beautiful wood. And they said the Romans even used it back during the Roman Empire used this. But anyway, if you take all of these things, luxury little gifts and expensive gifts and furniture is going to, God said he's going to call a halt to all of that thing because that has meant so much to the world. That's what they live for. That's what they live for. Folks, you've got to understand, pastor's not saying it's all right to have something nice and to have something nice sitting in your house. I'm not talking about it. But don't let that be your life. Multitudes of people spend more on furniture and things likened unto that than they'll ever give God in a year's time. They'll spend more money on vacations than they'll give God. You mark it down. You figure it out. Shame. The work of God should be first. Amen. We all ought to get our priorities correct. Amen. I don't mind people having furniture. We've got it ourselves. In fact, truthfully, I've made a lot of our furniture. Not a couch. I didn't make a couch. But I've made some of our furniture. I enjoy making things for my wife and for our house. And I've made quite a few things like that for her. It's all right to have furniture, all right to have nice looking things, but don't let that be your life and don't put that ahead of God. No, 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 no. Don't put that ahead of God. No, no, no. His work. And we ought to do some figuring on how we spend our money. We really should. In a year's time, we ought to kind of figure out how much we've put here and how much we put there and how much we put into the Lord's work. Amen. Be good for us, wouldn't it? Amen. Be good for us. And so we find then the luxury gift and furniture department. You go then into the cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense. Now we go into the spice and cosmetic department. The spices and all the fancy spices and all the cosmetics and all of those kind of things. Do you know that cosmetics is $1 billion businesses? More than just $1 billion. Now, you say, Brother Ross, don't you think it'd be good for us to have a little cosmetics? More than likely. Amen. Probably all right for us to have some cosmetics. But what I'm saying again is we need to get our priorities right. Folks spend more on cosmetics and spices and all those fancy things than they ever do give to God. Better get our priorities correct. Anyway, those are all going to come to a cease. Then we go into the liquor department and the pastry department. Now, I don't care much about that first one, but I wouldn't mind some of that other, amen, that pastry department. But it says the wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, in other words, the food and pastries and the fine things like that in the liquor industry. I just have a feeling we've never seen anything like it's going to be like in Babylon during those days, and it's terrible in America. Horrible. The drinks and the beer and the hard liquor and all of those type of things that are sold in America. I don't have the figures before me. I had them from a few years back. But the horribleness of the amount of money that is spent on liquors in America, just astounding. Just blow your mind. I don't have those figures. I can't remember what it was. But it's horrible. Now, I can't imagine what it's going to be like in Babylon. It's going to be a horrible, horrible thing. But anyway, then you see, and next thing we go into the meat department, the beast and the sheep. He talks about all kinds of beasts that is used, I'm sure, for food. And the sheep, I think, is mentioned extra and aside there because also of the wool that is used for all types of clothing. But the porterhouse steaks and the T-bone steaks and all of these fancy meats that has become so important for mankind, God said, I'm going to put a stop to all of it. You see, and once again, what is it? It's because it became their life. That's what they lusted after, and that's what the Bible says on down. They lusted after it. Become so important to them. They wanted it, you see, all the time. And then you'll notice it says in horses and chariots, and I call this the transportation department. Horses. I don't know exactly what he's all talking about. I think there'll be many horses in that time. I think they'll be used in military. I think they'll be used. But the chariots, I'm quite sure, is the automobile industry. And it is a large, great, big industry. If the automobile industry shut down in America, we'd be in trouble. We'd really be in trouble. Financially, I'm talking about the stock market would be. I'm not saying we would be. I'm saying the stock market would be. And again, so you see all of these things that he's talking about. They can't sell those cars and all of those fancy vehicles anymore. They can't do it. It's going to be an end. It's going to be over. Put a stop to it. And then we have, I think with great, great sadness, I call it the human department. We see the slaves and souls of men. And the word slaves there is a word that speaks of bodies. The bodies and souls of men. Going to be destroyed. If you'll remember, we went and spent some time back, I can't remember, but it wasn't last week. It was the week before that. Spent some time, went back to Zechariah, the fifth chapter, and talked about that woman we saw in an ephod, and that the two other women came with wings of storks and picked her up. They said, where's she going with her? Said, taking her to the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is there where Babylon was all started. Taking her to the land of Shinar. If you read that, it also calls the woman, it names her as wickedness. And if you read that whole thing again, we're not going back there, but you read it, there was like a lid on top of the ephod where she could not get out, and it was made of lead. And it was, and in the Bible it even says they put the lid back on. It's like, I don't think it was in them words, but they put the lid back on where she couldn't get out. But they took her to the land of Shinar. And her name was wickedness. And what I'm saying to you, we've not seen any wickedness until it's turned loose in Babylon. When God allows her to be turned loose, remember this. During this time, the Holy Spirit, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is not there. God is letting Satan and his crew have full reign. Now, can you imagine that going on in a city and across the world? Wickedness greater than anything we can ever imagine. You think it's wicked now. We haven't seen wickedness until we've seen going to see wickedness during the tribulation period. Not we, but during the tribulation period. It's going to be a horrible, horrible, wicked place. And so we find there that they even deal in the bodies and the souls of men. I say to you folks, even today, big business deals in the bodies and souls of men. Many times men sell their souls to the company store. I hear it every day. I talk to a lady today. Well, Pastor Ross, I work during the week, and it's just awful hard for me to get out of bed and get to church. Exactly what she said. She said, it's my fault. I know it's my... You know what she said? Here's what she said. My husband would come if I would. Now, I'm not saying that's good about her husband. Her husband ought to go regardless. But that's exactly what she said. My husband would go if I would. But she said, I work all week, and she said, it's just awful hard to get up on Sunday, and I just can't get myself going. Well, she sold her soul to the company store. You see, the things that she can buy with that money, supposedly buy with that money, means more to her than a godly life. It's bought her. I'm going to make a comment, and I'll pass because I'm not preaching on this, but I think the Lord wants me to make it. If a person, a man and a woman, would sit down and figure out what the woman makes and what it costs her to work, that have her quit tomorrow. No way is she making money. No way. You say, oh, Brother Ross, no, you don't know what... Oh, yes, I do. I know you may make good money, but you figure it all out, and you figure all the expenses that you have to make that money. You figure that extra car. You figure those extra clothes and those fancy clothes. You figure the extra times that you eat out every single week because you are working. And you figure those totals up, and you find out what you're making. And you figure the babysitting cost. Better go home, take care of your children, do it God's way. Amen? Amen? Yes. I'm just telling you some good stuff. Yeah, I'm telling you some good stuff. That's the way God would have it. He wants you home. Loving the Lord, raising your families, doing it in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Amen? Now, you can take your situation and go do with it whatever you want. I'm not trying to boss you, not trying to tell you. I'm simply saying you'll pay a cost. You'll pay a cost in family life because of it. That's what I'm saying. I love you. I do. I love you. Care about you. I'm just trying to help you. But the souls, the bodies and souls of men has been sold. And it'll be worse then. terribly worse. Then he says, and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And here he's talking about, and I looked that word fruit, it speaks of something plump and ripe. It could mean the figs and the olives and the tomatoes. I'll go along with that. Love tomatoes. And all of those fancy little fruits and things that men so lust after. And that's what the Bible said. They lusted after them. It wasn't just a part of a diet. It was something they lusted after. They wanted it. That's what they live for. That's what they work for. They go out and get all of these fancy things. Become so important to them, you know. And then he says, you'll find them no more at all. The merchants of these things were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Once again, as though it doesn't mention it there, they're not weeping and wailing because so many lost lives. They're weeping and wailing because they can no longer sell their merchandise. They no longer can make that big, great money. The Bill Gates, the Ted Turners, and the other million and billionaires of this world will be out there weeping and crying because they have nothing left. The stock markets across the world will cease to exist. You say, Brother Ross, how do you know that? Because Jesus is coming right after this. Don't need no stock markets when he's here. He'll set up his kingdom. And those things will fall and crash all across this world. Men won't know what to do, won't know how to handle things. That's why I would say to you, just love God. Trust Him. He's your Savior. He's your provider. He will provide for you. He'll take it. Use wisdom. Amen. Use wisdom. But God will provide for His people. He's promised He would. And He will take care of us. And then He says that the saying, alas, alas, that the city may exist, but I don't think it's in this condition today. I don't know myself personally, and I'm no world traveler, so there's things I'm sure that goes on that I don't know anything about. But I don't know of any city in the world today where people would sit back now and say, oh, what a great city. If that city is gone, we can't sell our merchandise anywhere. And look at the beauty of that city with all that silver and pearls and gold and all of those things. Look at this great city. I don't know of any city myself that would meet that standard. Maybe there is. You might know of one, but I don't know of one. That all over the world, people would be wailing the destruction of it. And then he says, for in one hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. We look at New York City, and just a few years back, New York City was awful close to bankruptcy. Close to bankruptcy. It did not go in bankruptcy, but it was also very close to it. And God said, this city in the space of one hour and of her great riches, it's going to be great. It's going to be a magnitude of riches that we've never seen before in one location ever before. And he says, will come to naught. And then it gets into the shipmasters and all the company and the ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. Once again, he talks about standing afar off. I don't know how far they're going to be standing, but it's going to be a magnitude of smoke and billowing flames and smoke in that city. I didn't take you back, but if you'll go back to Genesis, the 19th chapter, and if I remember right, if you'll start reading around the 24th verse, you'll come down to the place after God rained Sodom and Gomorrah with brimstone and fire. You remember when that happened? The Bible says that Abraham arose and he came and stood before the Lord and he says he looked and saw the smoke. Now, I don't know exactly where Abraham was at that time exactly, but wherever, he sure wasn't in that land. But he saw the smoke billowing up at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the plains thereof. I don't know exactly where these shipmasters are. They are afar off, but they're able to see the destruction and the horrible smoke of her torment going up. And then it says, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. And the word costliness there can be translated magnificence, of her great magnificence. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. I think we'll stop there for tonight. But in 1 hour she's going to be destroyed. And once again, just in closing, let me encourage you. The time is coming, I believe, for the coming of Jesus. Now, I believe that. I believe that down in my heart. Look for him. I do. I look for him. And I believe he's coming soon. Realize I don't know when he's coming. But I sure believe he's coming soon. Soon after he comes and takes us, these kind of conditions are going to start to take place on this earth. I realize this is at the ending of the tribulation period, but the tribulation period will begin. And what I'm saying to you is horrible, wicked time that we don't want anybody on the face of this earth today to go through. I'm simply saying this, let it be a call to all of us to do everything we can to see people saved, brought into the family of God. Let us pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness and your kindness, your wonderful grace. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Ask you now to help us take the Word of God tonight and use it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.